Amen, brother.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer again as we just prepare our hearts for His Word. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to hold Your Word, Your powerful, living, active Word in our hands. Father, thank You for all that You did throughout thousands of years. To many writers, You gave us Your Word. And here we have the whole redemptive story. Lord, You blessed us with that. And I pray that we take it so seriously, Lord, that we are not distracted in any way, that we make no excuses for why we can't spend time in Your Word. This morning I pray that You would illuminate Your Word, the power of Your Holy Spirit that lives within us, Lord, and You would help us to clearly understand what Your Word says and how You want to apply it to our lives, what changes need to be made, Father. I pray that we listen with great expectation, Lord, with great awe and reverence of Your Word and that You are speaking to us, God. I pray that You just prepare our hearts, and I pray, Father, that You would have Your way. Have Your way in us this morning. Use Your Word to grow us in our relationship with You, to grow us in spiritual maturity, to make us, mold us more into the likeness of Christ. Lord, bless us as we read through, as we study, as we meditate on what You're saying to us in Your Word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So last week, we're in John chapter 8, verse 39 through 47. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in front of you. Open that to John chapter 8, verse 39 through 47. And last week, we looked at freedom versus slavery. You are either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness is what we learn. What you give yourself to determines what you're enslaved to. The slavery of sin brings about death. The slavery of sin corrupts our minds. It persuades you to believe the lies from the world around us. And it's only through how can a person be set free from this slavery of sin? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. We sang about it. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That's what Jesus told us. And so Jesus, who rose from the grave, gives us freedom through His powerful Word. His truth that about Christ that we is given to us. It's spoken to us. The gospel, the good news that we hear. And so He who had no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. So through His powerful truth, we are set free. Through His sacrifice, His blood sacrifice, we are set free from sin. But this Jewish crowd, they're not entertaining Jesus' words. They don't believe He is who He says He is. They don't believe He is the true Messiah. They don't believe His Word is truth from God. And so they're blinded by the enemy. Their own pride, their false assumption of salvation is keeping them from understanding God's Word. You know, what they claim to believe as far as Jews and the Old Testament is concerned, what they claim to believe was contrary to their nature and how they live their lives. I mean, we're going to see that in this passage, and that's what Jesus is pointing out to them, because true children of God take on the Father's nature. True children of God take on the Father's nature. Look there at verse 39 and 40. They answered Him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did." And so as Jesus stated earlier in verse 37, He knew they were the seed of Abraham, the offspring, meaning they were the physical descendants of Abraham. Jesus agrees with that. Yes, I know you're the physical descendants of Abraham. But Jesus said that's not enough. See, that's not what it's all about. Becoming children of Abraham, in other words, spiritual descendants of Abraham, was a matter of the heart through faith in God. And we see that as Paul states in Romans 2:29. He says, "But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter." So it's not a matter of physical descent. It's not a matter of the law, but of the heart by the Spirit. And so in verse 38, Jesus said He was from the Father.
And so he's explaining, I'm from the Father. And he tells him, the words I'm sharing with you are coming from God the Father. He's speaking of God here. He's clearly claiming that God is his Father. And therefore, they should have been able to see and understand and know the character of Christ, that it comes from God, that he is from God. But Jesus tells them, you have a different Father. You've got a different Father. Now again, here in their response in verse 39 is, they're quick to respond, Abraham is our father. What are you talking about? Abraham is our father. See, their train of thought was based on Abraham being their ancestor, which makes him their father, which therefore makes them who are children of Abraham, children of God. Since Abraham was a friend of God, it made them friends of God as well. But Jesus continues to point out to them that Abraham is not your true father. It's not about physical descent here. What Jesus was telling them would have angered them greatly, because this is their physical heritage. They are holding on to this. They're clinging to this for their salvation. This is what they base their understanding of being a child of God on. First, he says to them, if you were children of Abraham, let me tell you what you would be like. You would be doing the works that Abraham did. This would be part of your nature. See, Abraham was known as a man of faith. He listened to God's word. We know the story of Abraham and how he believed in the promises of God. God gave him that great promise of making a great nation. And he trusted the promises of God. And he believed so much that he left everything and went out to a place he didn't even know where he was going. God led him. He left everything. He trusted in God's word. He was a man of faith. He left everything behind. Instead, Jesus says, you seek to kill me. This is not something Abraham did. It's not something he would do. In other words, Jesus is telling them, you don't have the same nature as Abraham. Therefore, you're not true spiritual children of Abraham. In other words, you're illegitimate children of God. So in the same way, when a person is born of God, that person takes on the Father's nature. God comes into our lives and he changes our very nature, the nature of our hearts. And this is what happens when we are set free from the slavery of sin. To put it simple, we begin to live and act as Jesus did. But how does this work? How does this really work? We think about this. We talked about salvation in Sunday school this morning. How does this work? When a person comes to the place of humility and they acknowledge or recognize that they have sinned against God, who is holy, and they now understand their punishment for that sin is death, and there's no good works, there's no good deeds, there's no religious activity that they can perform that will save them. Only faith in Christ and his work. And at that point, when that person hears the good news about Christ, that he came in the flesh and he took our sin on himself, our punishment on himself, he died on that cross, but then after 3 days he rose from the grave, he defeated sin and death, and he lives to offer all people forgiveness of sin and eternal life. When a person hears that good news and that person believes what Jesus did for them, he believes who he is, they believe what he did for them, and they ask Christ to forgive their sin, meaning there's true repentance, they're turning away from that old life of sin, they're turning to him, and they're putting their faith and trust in his work on the cross, and they're saying, I want you to be Lord of my life, I'm confessing you as Lord, that means you're in control. He's now Lord of your life. He calls the shots. He leads us. At that point, you're forgiven of all your sin. You're adopted as a child of God. You're given eternal life. You're filled with God's power. Now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. At that point, the Father immediately begins the process of molding you more into the likeness of Christ. We call that the sanctification part of your salvation. He places the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's inside of you now, and he begins to change the very nature of your heart. And he brings about fruit in your life. He starts to change you, and you start to have these desires. Not that you're obligated to obey the law, which he says, you, if you love me, you will obey me. But it comes from within. There's an inner desire now, because you're a child of God, to follow him, trust in him, live by his word. It's not by works that we're saved. It's through faith in Christ that we're saved. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he starts to change our nature. And he starts to produce fruits. The fruit of righteousness, as he talks about. The fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those things start to, to take place in our life. He starts to bring those about. And we can see this. It changes our own lives, changes the lives of those around us, and people see these fruits. How do we know they see them? Because Jesus says in Matthew 7:16, He says, you will recognize them by their fruits, by their nature, by the way they act, the things they do. You're going to notice this. You're going to see this in their lives because God is changing their nature from within. A new set of desires, a new set of moral standards and just faithfulness to God because the Holy Spirit is living within you. A child of God takes on the Father's nature. A true follower of Christ will be recognized by this wholehearted love for God, holiness in their lifestyle, fruits of the Spirit, love for their neighbor, a great desire to listen and obey God's Word, to be involved in His mission to save people from their sin. That's a description of a true Christian, a true child of God. Jesus is saying you're going to know them by their fruits. See, Jesus knew the hearts of these Jewish people, and it's clear that they're not true spiritual children of Abraham. They're not living as Abraham did. In fact, they want to kill Jesus. It's just not something that Abraham did. It wasn't part of his nature. And so they had this false security in something other than faith in Christ or obedience to God's Word. This is also a characteristic of someone who follows Christ. Children of God, listen and obey His Word. Why would we do that? Because we have a new nature. We have a new desire. We have a new Father. We have a new nature that within us. Listen to what it says in verse 41 and 43 through 43. It says, you are doing the works your father did. And they said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You cannot bear to hear my words. And so here they argue with Jesus that they're true children of God. They've given their reasoning that they were not born of sexual morality. Now they could be talking about Ishmael. We talked about Ishmael, the bondwoman's son born to Abraham who eventually had to leave the house of Abraham. Remember that? They could be talking about other false religions that were born out of sin. But this could also be an accusation against Jesus. Maybe they knew about the rumor that Mary, his mother, was pregnant before her and Joseph were married. Maybe they don't realize or understand that Jesus was born by the power of the Holy Spirit through virgin birth by Mary. Maybe they don't understand that or get that. They don't know that. They don't know how Jesus was truly born, that He doesn't have an earthly father. Either way, they're trying to argue their point against Jesus, saying that this Abraham is our father. It is our father. But Jesus again points out that just as He did with Abraham, if you were true children of God, then your nature would be like that of the Father. First of all, Jesus said, you would love me. You wouldn't want to kill me. You would love me because I came from the Father. In other words, if you're a true children of God, you're going to love me because I am God and I'm here in your midst. I'm standing right before you. I'm sharing truth from the Father. And so their nature was not like that of God. Remember, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And their nature is not proving at all that they're children of Abraham, much less children of God. They also don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, whom God sent. So basically, they don't believe in God because Jesus is God. They don't recognize Him because they're not truly children of God. And so then He asked them this other question, which He gives the answer for. He says, why don't you understand what I say? And then, of course, Jesus gives the answer. He says, because you cannot bear to hear my word. They don't want to listen to this word from Christ. It's coming from God. It's truth from God. It's God's word. They don't want to hear it because they're not truly children of God. They don't want to hear God's word. They don't want to hear His truth because it brings conviction on their hearts. It goes against what their flesh is telling them. It goes against their false idea of salvation and what they were holding to. A person who doesn't want to be in God's word or doesn't want to hear God's word taught or preached is standing on shaky ground. Because Our nature has changed. God Almighty lives in us. And we have these new desires. And one of them is to, we love God's Word. We want to read God's Word. We want to study. We want to meditate. We want to, it's a true characteristic of being a child of God. A desire to hear. You desire to hear from your new Heavenly Father, and therefore you have great reverence and awe of God's Word. Practically, we know what that means. It means that we're going to spend time reading and studying and meditate on God's Word because it's important to us. This is God's letter to us, and it's from our Father, our new Father we're going to spend the rest of eternity with. I want to hear what He has to say that's going to help me live my life. I want to meditate on this so that I can know how to obey Him and how to please Him, how to be faithful to Him every day. I want to know what things I need to change in my life in order to line myself up with His Word. This is our new nature. This is our new desire. Not only do we want to spend time in God's Word, as a child of God, you want to spend time gathering with the body of Christ. There's no replacement for that. You want to be here. You want to hear His Word taught, preached. You want to be discipled. You want to learn more about God and what He expects of you. You want to be held accountable by His Word. You want to grow in spiritual maturity because you know why? Because a true child of God knows what it was like before. We talked about slavery of sin. They know what it was like to be enslaved to sin. They remember that. No freedom. They remember what it was like to have to carry the consequences and be under the consequences of bad decision and lack freedom and lack purpose and lack peace and lack hope. They know what that was like. They can remember that. And so they don't want to go back to that. They want to grow in spiritual maturity because they know in spiritual maturity there is freedom. We're not tossed to and fro by the lies of this world. We are standing in Christ, in our faith in Christ. We're standing on His Word, and we have great confidence and boldness and courage to persevere. We have hope that is everlasting, not wishful thinking, an everlasting for sure hope. We don't want to go that way. So we want to hear His Word. We want to be in it. We want to be taught by it. We want to hear it preached. We want to be discipled by it. We want to gain understanding. We want to grow in it. That's the new nature that we have in Christ. So they're telling Jesus, we don't really need you. You're not who you say you are. And Jesus is trying to help them understand He's not seeing fruit in their lives that line up with them being true children of God, and therefore He reveals the unthinkable. That if God is not their Father, there's only one other option. That's Satan. Because children of God don't align themselves with Satan's agenda. Children of God don't align themselves up with Satan's agenda. Look at verse 44 through 47. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. I can imagine the rage, the anger, the hatred that they were feeling when they heard this. Here Jesus points out what He's been trying to reveal since verse 38. If you look back to verse 38, He says, you do what you have heard from your father. What is He talking about? We're children of Abraham. You do what you have heard from your father. In other words, you are under the leadership of your father, the devil. And He points that out in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. And here we get one of the many descriptions of Satan's character. First of all, Satan opposes all that God desires to do in this world and in our lives. He is our enemy. He is the enemy of God. God is overpowered. God threw him out of heaven. He doesn't have power over God. This is not an equal playing field here. With a word, Jesus will consume him in the end and it will all be finished. He's already defeated him on the cross. But here we have this enemy, and he is against everything that God is trying to do. There's a huge difference in the mission of Satan and the mission of Jesus. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. Jesus came to give us abundant life, eternal life at that. And so here in verse 44, we see that Satan is a murderer. If you remember, he's there with Adam and Eve. Remember, tempting them to sin, and they fell this temptation. They sinned against God, and it brought death upon the whole world and themselves. He's a liar. He's a liar. In fact, the father of lies. There's no truth in him. Even in times when he's trying to share God's truth, it's always twisted and changed in order to fulfill his purposes. With Adam and Eve, it was changed. With Jesus in the desert, he's trying to twist it for his purposes. He's taking it out of context. Satan is also called the deceiver. The one who, he says, disguises himself as the angel of light. And it says, so do his servants. He disguises himself as a... 1 Peter 5:8, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. This is our enemy. And so just imagine for a minute, just imagine what his plans are like. Just what his schemes are like in this world. Just reflect on his agenda. His agenda that continues to plague our world. Just think about that for a minute. From Adam and Eve to Jesus in the desert until now, he's still working the same way, in the same ways, to tempt us in our most vulnerable areas. We can all name those three things, because we all face it on a daily basis. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Right? He used that with Adam and Eve in the garden. He used it with Jesus in the desert. He still uses the day. Why? Because it still works. People are being taken advantage, just falling to temptation in droves. Lust of the flesh. I want my desires to be fulfilled. Lust of the eyes. I want what that person has. I want it. I just got to have it. Pride of life. I am my own God. I am self-sufficient. Right? He just plays into our sinful nature. He's so deceptive that even among believers, we can sometimes get caught up in his agenda. Just like these people had. They've been caught up in his agenda. He works through the culture that we live in, the worldview that he has set up in this world. He strives to make good look bad and bad look good, right look wrong, wrong look right. But God's children will not align themselves with Satan's agenda. They're eager to learn from God's word so that they know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. They will know the truth, and therefore they will know what is false. They will know what is a lie because it doesn't line up with God's word. This is truth for me to live by. So what are some of these hot button topics of Satan's agenda? What are some of these things? One would be the respect and honor of all human life. Genesis 1:27, a beautiful verse that says, God made us in his own image. He made them male and female. Wow. God made us and he created us in his own image. And so therefore, every human being is of great value. Psalm 139 states that God knit us together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And not only that, he prepared plans for us before we were created. Not born, created. He knew the days which we would live. He had plans and purposes planned beforehand that we should walk in them. And so God's truth reveals that there should be a respect and honor should be given to every human being. That means the unborn as well. I can't imagine. Just think for a minute, the multitude of not thousands, millions, millions of babies that have been aborted. Millions. Whole populations of countries, not small ones, large ones, have been killed through abortion. This is Satan's agenda. What did he came to do? Kill, to steal, and destroy your life. Child of God does not align themselves with Satan's agenda to murder the unborn. Another would be that he makes what is right appear to be what is wrong. and what is wrong to appear to be what is right. He lies and deceives the world so that there are many who agree with him. And so therefore, if anybody opposes this or him, it seems odd. It seems like you're on the wrong side. It's like being in your school. And you look around and I don't see anybody like really living for Christ. Maybe I'm wrong about this. There's nobody at my workplace who's really, I don't see anybody praying for their meal at lunch. I don't know if I should do that. Or maybe in our community. And you start to think, well, maybe I'm on the wrong side. But just because the whole world may do something, it does not make it right for children of God. It doesn't make it right. See, he wants us to believe that the root of intolerance is hatred. That we can't stand on God's truth and live by it and at the same time love our neighbor. Think about that. That's a lie. God's truth is the foundation by which everything around us is measured by. The world says that marriage can be anything, but God says that it is between one man and one woman. The world says that family can be anything as well, but nothing works as good as one man, one husband, one wife, loving each other, being committed to each other, and raising their children up in the ways of God. Even our worldly statistics reveal this to be true. Nobody wants to look at that. God's way is best. No matter what anybody else around you is doing, this is the truth that we live by. And He created us. So He knows how we're supposed to live so that we can have abundant life. And we can have the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ and live in freedom from the bondage that the world tries to put in your mind. The lies of Satan. We can have freedom from that. But I would say that Satan does have this one that I believe tops them all. And this one helps him push all the rest of his schemes. See, as a child of God, are you aware of this? Are you aware of what it is? Can you picture what this might be? Is it come to your mind? Because I think this tops it all. Satan wants the world to believe that there are errors in God's Word. And you think, how's that important? The first temptation in this world was Satan trying to fight against the truth of God's Word. That there's error with God's Word. If he could get Adam and Eve to doubt God's Word, he could convince them to do anything he wanted them to do. And that's exactly what happened. Did God really say that? Are you sure? Now, I don't think he said that. I think he said this. If he can persuade or make people today believe or doubt God's Word, he can tempt us and persuade us to do whatever he wants us to do. It becomes easy. And therefore, immature Christians try to add millions of years into the account of creation. They begin to believe the false theory of evolution. And so if we take it upon ourselves to change the truth that God has given us, anything goes. Anything goes. There's no foundation by which we live our lives by. There's no right standard for moral conviction to be based upon. We have no hope then because we put our faith in Satan's agenda and lost our faith in God's Word. We need to cling to this. This is everything. Right here, the Word of God. We need to live by this. This is truth. Other things are false and lies. And if we don't know the truth, what's going to happen? We will be blind to what is false, what is untrue. These Jews had aligned themselves with Satan's agenda and they wanted to kill Jesus. They did not believe the truth of His Word. They did not believe He was the Son of God. And He tells them in verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. And the reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. 1 John 3:10 states, by this it is evident who are children of God and who are children of the devil. By this it is evident. Who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Because you've got a new nature, right? Nor is the one who does not love his brother. New nature. New desire within. It doesn't mean we don't sin from time to time, but it means we have a new nature. The majority of us are, who are the majority of our nature is that we practice righteousness, because righteousness comes from within. It's not something we can attain in the flesh. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's from the power of God within us. We love our brothers because God loved us, and now we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We love our brothers and sisters. It's part of our new nature. I don't believe there's a scarier passage, hardly a scarier passage in the Bible than that of Matthew 7, 21 through 23. To me, it's one of the scariest passages. Every time I read it, I cringe, and I just am overwhelmed by this verse. Listen to what it says. Not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus talking here. This is after he shared the Sermon on the Mount, how he opened up and revealed the true meaning of the law, how he looked at people's hearts and not just the exterior fulfillment of the law, but the heart. He's finishing this up and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, this is Jesus, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That is a scary passage. Because there are people who have put their faith in something other than Christ for salvation. And in this case, it was ministry and good works. Those are not bad things. But to put your faith in Christ means you surrender your life to Him. To His Word. He's Lord of your life. This is your new standard for living. There's a new nature within you. The Jews here had a false idea of what it was to be saved. It was based on the physical relationship to Abraham. I've heard people say, well, my grandpa, he was a strong believer. Therefore, I'm okay. My grandparents used to go to church. Actually, I think when I was a little boy, I became a member of this church up here. I don't remember the name, but faith in Christ is the only way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The proof of their disbelief made it clear to Jesus they were not children of God. They did not have a nature like that of their Father. They did not want to listen and believe in God's Word. And they had aligned themselves up with Satan's agenda. And this pointed to a very hard fact for them. You are not children of God. Your relationship with Christ is a very serious thing. It's not something that we take lightly. We need to really take time this morning to be real with God. To be real with Him about the areas that we struggle in. To truly repent and turn to Him and allow Him to change the very nature of your heart. Allow Him to give you the freedom in Christ that we talked about last week. We need to be real with the Lord, serious about our walk with the Lord. He is the one that when you breathe your last breath, He will take you to Himself and you will be in His presence. I'm not talking about a golden mansion. I'm talking about the presence of God, Almighty God. He created you. He has made a way for you to be saved, and He wants to take you to Himself and restore you to be whole, to feel peace, an everlasting peace that you've never felt before. Allow Him to search your heart. Set new goals for your personal time with the Lord. Maybe you only spend time reading God's Word, not meditating or studying in it and allowing it to truly change your heart. Maybe you know what God is telling you to do. And for some reason, you're in disobedience and there needs to be repentance. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. Be aware of Satan's agenda. The only way really to be aware of Satan's agenda is to really know His Word, to walk closely with Christ so that we're not taken advantage of. I used to think about this with my children, and I thought when they got to a certain age, that I would stop thinking this, but then my children had their children. We always think about kidnapping, right? We think about making sure you keep your little kids within reach, in sight of your parents or your grandparents, close by, so that nobody can come and take them. It's good for them to be near their father. And the same is with Christ. When we get out there on our own and we think we can just do it all by ourselves, that we somehow have the strength and courage to fight against the schemes of the devil, we're blinded. And he takes advantage of us. He loves us to get out there on our own. He loves us to slowly be doubtful of God's word, because we're not in it. We don't know it well enough. Therefore, doubts start to come. Be on guard. Unless you know God's word, you're not recognize the truth that comes from God or the lie that comes from Satan. Don't align yourself with his agenda. Don't get caught up in the self-centered worldview that he has established in our culture. As he tells us in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So God's given us everything we need. It's right here in his word. It's right here within us in the Holy Spirit. He's given us everything we need to stand against the schemes of the devil. We don't have to fall to that. As believers, we have everything we need. And then in Galatians 5:1, he says, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. As the worship team comes, humble yourself before God this morning. Take serious your relationship with God. Don't take it for granted. Don't think that what you have been doing, even if it's good, what you've been doing for a long period of time with your relationship with the Lord, that it doesn't need to be, that the bar doesn't need to be raised. I've been doing it all along and I feel fine. God wants us to continually grow closer. He wants us to continually be in His Word so that He can produce in us sanctification and righteousness. Let Him have His way in your heart today. Then you can experience freedom. Freedom from Satan's schemes. Freedom from the lies that plague us from the world. Then we can walk in the multitude of spiritual blessings that Christ has given us. Anything less, I really believe, is a sad waste of what God wants to give us. So I really think if the world could see what this vibrant relationship looks like, to walk in the spiritual blessings of Christ, to have joy that is unbelievable, peace, no matter what's going on in the world around us, if they could truly see that, I think they'd be like, I've never seen anything like that ever in my life. What in the world is going on? But that comes through this walk with Christ. And so don't take your relationship for granted. Take it seriously. Re-establish your practices for what it means to spend time with God. Let His truth penetrate your hearts. Let the Holy Spirit, let God have His way in you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in worship.
See the enemy run. This we know. darkness. I wake when it seems there is no way. Jesus, this we know.
And majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you reign over all.
So we trust you. We trust you. Your ways are higher than our own. Yes, we trust you. Jesus, we trust you. Your ways are higher than our own. Yes, we trust you. In all things we trust you. For your ways are higher than our own. Forever we trust you. We trust you.
Heavenly Father, we do trust you. We trust you because you are the only way. You stepped into our lives and you worked in a powerful way, Lord, to help us understand that we were lost and undone, separated from you forever and ever by our sin. You stepped into our lives and you humbled us. You revealed that to us and you revealed the truth of the gospel to us, Lord. And you gave us the faith to believe and put our trust in you, Father. You saved us. You adopted us into your family, Lord. And we are forever grateful, forever thankful. And Father, in Revelation, Lord, we learn that we are overcomers. That's what that's all about, for you to show us that in the end, Lord, we will be with you. Nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing can take us out of your hand. We are secure in our salvation in you. But Lord, as we learn today, Lord, there are fruits, evident fruits that come from our lives being in Christ. The Holy Spirit, your Spirit living within us, it changes our nature. And I pray, Lord, that we take our our walk, our relationship with you seriously this week and every week and every day. Not only do we get to benefit from the spiritual blessings that you want us to walk in, but Lord, others around us need to see it. They need to really truly see that there is something different with God's children. That Christ really does make a difference in our lives. That we really do have real joy, real peace, real hope. That nowhere else can it be found in this world. Father, I pray that you would use us and we would truly be your lights, your ambassador, your witnesses. This week you have called us, commanded us to that, Lord, and you've given us the power and everything we need to do that. Lord, work in our lives, Lord. Have your way in us, Lord Father. May there be nothing, no sin, no distraction that keeps us from walking faithfully with you. Bless each one of us, Lord, and may we walk in the freedom we have in Christ this week. In Jesus' name, amen.